Blog Talk Radio.
Iced tea, stone cold. Calling on everyone to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Hello, my name is Ice-T. Can you spare a few seconds to learn about cold water washing with Tide?
Hi, my name is Steve. Did you know washing in cold can save you $100 a year on your energy bill?
Why wouldn't you turn to cold? It helps the environment.
What? Because Stone Cold said so. Plus, Tide cleans great in cold.
Hello, this is Vanilla. Vanilla Ice.
Ice, Ice, baby.
I'm busy.
Stop. Collaborate.
And listen.
All right, I'm listening.
We're on a mission to get everyone to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Tide cleans better in cold than the bargain brand in hot.
It saves you $100 a year on your energy bill.
If hot's a problem, yo, I'll solve it.
Word to your mother.
Word to your mother.
You know his mother?
Mr. T here.
Mr. T.
Yeah, what y'all want?
Will you turn to cold washing with Tide?
What's your jibber-jabber?
Tide cleans better in cold than the bargain brand in hot.
So Mr. T can wash his Hanes teas in cold.
You can save up to $100 on your energy bill.
Mr. T will turn to cold, and so will this fool.
I turn to cold.
You know, technically, you're Mr. T.
Technically, Steve.
This was a cold call.
This is Annie.
Annie Murphy.
This is a cold call.
We're calling to get you to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Unsubscribe.
Wait, wait, wait. This helps the environment.
And saves you money.
Oh, the environment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the trees and the shrubs. How much money?
$100 a year on your energy bill. It's like getting paid for doing nothing.
I will take that money for the environment.
This was a cold call.
Hello.
Hello, Mark Messier.
It's Messier.
Mark Messier.
Mess-C-A.
This is a cold call.
Calling to get you to turn to cold washing with Tide.
Yeah, guys, I've been doing it for years.
Really?
Saves me $100 a year on my energy bill. Plus, Tide cleans great and cold.
Tell me more.
Washing in cold helps the environment.
Hey, how would you like a job at a call center, my man?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
product of... Good evening, everyone. This is a product of WBNN. This is Strictly Business, and I'm your host, E. Davis. We are on the air from Lagos, Nigeria. Call 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multi. Happy Thursday, everyone. I'm so excited. This is me, your girl E., your business analysis, and I'm so excited to talk to you about ways to build your brand using how to build your brand doing what you love. Everyone knows that knows me know that I'm an author, I'm a publisher. I have built my company based on my love of writing, and I'm pleased to announce our special guest. He has also built his brand on what he loves. Before we get into our special guest, I just want to share some words of wisdom and information on how to build your brand doing what you love. In Oprah Winfrey's words, passion is everything. You want to feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you. The truth is that everyone has a passion or more than one, even if you don't know what that is. Our purpose here on Earth is to discover it. Many people believe that you can turn what you love into a valuable business enterprise. You can. In fact, the best businesses are built on passion. It takes some planning, soul searching, and yes, hard work. So I have 5 tips that will help you turn your passion into profit. Dream big, but not small. Tip number one, try turning your passion into profit is inherently risky. The good news is that you can minimize the risk by starting small and planning carefully. In the early days of launching a company, you're still in the learning stages. Test the waters first and make sure that whatever you do is scalable. Then as you start seeing success, invest in rolling your products and services out in a more signified way. Tip number two, keep your day job. The best way to eventually turn passion into profit is to start your business while you have a safety and secure day job. Ideally, you won't leave your full-time position until your passion project is providing you with a sustainable growing cash flow that is equal to at least 75% of your current salary. Most entrepreneurs have a healthy appetite for risk, but you shouldn't jump into anything without having a decent chance of success. You'll want to have at least 6 months to a year's worth of savings in the event your business doesn't grow as quickly as tip number three. Break down your big goal into manageable chunks. While turning your passion to profit, keep goals small and attainable. Break down your overarching goal into small, actionable chunks. Think about the items that you set out to achieve immediately. If you want to accomplish something, break it down into small steps and go after them incrementally. Plan out the smaller steps before jumping into the big projects. When planning your smaller steps, try creating a schedule around it. For example, you could commit to working in your home office every morning at 7:30 a.m. As you develop a habit and focus on the purpose instead of the outcome, you'll be likely to achieve your goal in a shorter amount of time. Tip number four, focus your strength and outsource the rest. The most successful entrepreneurs who turn passion into profit focuses on their strength and finds others to help them to fill the gaps. Not only is it an effective business strategy, studies have also shown that people who use their strengths are at work are happier, healthier, less stressed, more energetic, more confident, more engaged, creative, and agile, more satisfied, and experience more meaning at work. Ultimately, when we focus on developing our strengths, we grow faster when trying to improve upon our weaknesses. Are you great at design strategy but hate accounting? Then don't waste your time to learn the ins and outs of the latest tax laws. Outsource your accounting needs. Other areas to consider outsourcing are customer service, social media activities, data entry and verification, IT services and network support, shipping and administrative tasks, content writing, research and editing, marketing and telemarketing services. And finally, tip number 5, use time travel to plan for tomorrow. Once you launch a business, take a step back to think about what you like your company to look, what you like your company look like in 2 years into the future. Then consider what you are doing differently 2 years from now and what you aren't doing today. Are you pricing your services differently? Is your marketing message more effective? When people ask what you do, how do you respond? Use time travel to help you envision what your business will look like years from now. Then use the vision to inform how you will position your products and service to people today. For example, if you are a hobby photographer who wants to eventually launch a wedding photography business, when people ask you what you do, say, I'm a full-time wedding photographer. You have to start somewhere, and this approach will help you build confidence while you're slowly growing your clientele. Starting any business requires effort and patience. Success does not happen overnight. Just don't overlook the critical ingredients, passion. The more passionate you are, the easier it will be to get your profit off the ground and turn into a viable business. Richard Branson said, when you believe in something, the force of your convictions will spark other people's interest and motivate them to help you achieve your goals. This is essentially to success. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you a gentleman that has turned his passion into his business. He is a comedian, and I hear that he is very funny. I heard great things about him. I would like to introduce to you your favorite cousin, Cousin Clyde. Cousin Clyde, are you available?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. Well, thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome. My beloved uncle, who was a guest on our show last month, has sang your praises, so I'm looking forward to some laughs tonight. Don't hold back. Tell it like a T.I. is. We're going to have some fun. And the Hall of Fame producer, Ola Ski, is going to drop some sounds. He got the sounds of Shaka on the airwaves for us. So get ready to jam. How's that for you?
I'm ready.
All right, so let's start with the beginning. First of all, where are you from originally? Well, where do you reside, I would say?
I'm Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, Charlotte. Big ups to Charlotte. And how did you get into comedy?
I got in through comedy through my cousin. It was a lifelong dream of his, and he introduced me to the comedy world.
All right, and where do you do your stand-up? Are you a stand-up comedian? Are you live on social media? Tell us how you brand yourself.
I'm a stand-up comedian right now. I'm really working on the stage part of the stand-up comedy. Coming from where I come from, it's not saying that it's hard. I'm just not used to the cameras and doing the skits and things of that nature. So that's like part of like my business that I'm working on right now, is trying to get the visual, the social media content up, but I really work the stages.
Okay, so are you on any social media sites?
I'm on all the social media sites. I like to say, like, people have stolen my word, Googleable. I'm Googleable. You put me in Google and I pop up all kinds of things.
All right. So give us something from your act. Just talk to us. Tell us something funny. I don't want to put you on the spot, but
that's what a lot of people do as a stand-up comedian. I found out that's what a lot of people do when they tell you, you know, when you tell people that you're a stand-up comedian, they were like, "Well, give me a joke." When it's like it don't really work like that. Because, you know, times has changed. Like, if I give you a joke, it'd be a joke of somebody else, because there's so many, you know, jokes on popsicle sticks and online, and you have YouTube. My style of comedy is more like storytelling. I'm an observer. I'm very observant. I like to talk about things and have strong opinion on other things. Like,
tell us a story.
Huh?
Tell us a story.
A good story? Mm-hmm. One of the good stories I like to talk about, since we talk about business right now, I like to talk about, you know, working, a good, having a good work ethic.
Okay.
And, you know, one of my father, growing up, it was one of the people that I seen, you know, working all the time. He was a very hard-working man. You know, he had two jobs. He worked overtime on both of those jobs. And watching my father work that hard, it only motivated and inspired me to want to sell drugs, because I never, you know, understood growing up as a kid how a man could work so much and so hard but never have any money. Like, I could never get no money to go to the mall and get no money for snacks. You know, we ate leftovers from the school system. I was like, where's all the money going? So, you know, I started selling drugs at an early age, being naive and dumb, not realizing, like, hey, having a good work ethic, you might not make a lot of money, but it keeps you out of jail.
You became a funny drug dealer.
I so did. You know, when your drugs don't sell that good, when you start sending drug addicts to rehab, you know you need to quit.
Oh wow! Okay, you were telling them to get well.
Yeah, that's what they would do. They would use my drugs, and when they use them, they're like, you know what? I gotta give this up. This ain't no good.
Oh wow! Okay. So you looked at it as, you know what, I can't make a living as a drug dealer because I'm sending them to get help. I want them to smoke the crack, but they got to get help.
That and get tired of going to jail. It was just a bad life. Growing up in the 80s and 90s just really messed my generation up, I believe, a little bit. But out of all of that, though, I will say one thing that they did teach our generation is how to run a business, mistakenly. Because now all of us now are entrepreneurs owning our own businesses. And it feels good.
All right. Okay, I got you. So we're going to talk more about that. First, we have a track by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Chaka 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 Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, let me rock it, let me rock Chaka Khan, let me rock it, that's all I wanna do, Chaka Khan, let me rock Chaka Khan, let me rock it, cause I feel for you, Chaka Khan, what you tell me what you wanna do, do you feel for me the way I feel for you, Chaka Khan, let me tell you what I wanna do, I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too, so let me take it in my arms, let me feel you with my charm, Chaka, cause you know that I'm the one to keep you warm, Chaka, I'm making more than just a physical dream, I wanna rock you, Chaka, baby, cause you make me wanna scream. Let me rock it, rock it.
I'm gonna make you mine. you wanna hug, you wanna squeeze you too. Put up a ticket in my arm, let me fill you with my tongue, shaka. Cause you know that I'm the one that keep you warm, shaka. I'm making more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, shaka, cause you make me wanna scream. Feel for you.
What do you think of the soundtrack?
It's
just taking you back?
It's taking me all the way back.
All right, that's what I like to hear. So, come on, sing it.
Because I love you. You know, that's one of those songs when you know you can't sing, but you're going to sing it anyway. You don't care who around.
Don't care. Oh, very impressed with you tonight. All right, so our producer, our beloved big brother, Oladele Ngozi, is requested to come on the line. So he said he got something to say. Come on,
brother. Brother Clyde, I was, you know, enamored with our sister, one of the most beautiful women today at 67 years old. This woman rocks out. She walked in the room like, wait a minute, you're not in your 70s. No way, right? But we're talking about the woman that I used to have three or four posters in my room back in Compton, California, right? And I'm talking about this, you know, she was just so sensual. She didn't have to be sexy. She was just sensual, right? The great Chaka Khan. I love you, girl. Now, listen. When Melly Mel was saying his verse, right, me being the kid I was, right, in there with Chaka Khan, right, we know the verse was, you know, I'm going to rock you, Chaka Khan. I'm going to fill you with my charm, Chaka, right? But I thought he was saying, I want to feed you with my jaw and shocker. I want to feed you with my jaw and shocker. Like, that's nasty. You know, this is so funky. I thought he was saying, I want to feed you with my jaw and shocker. I'm sorry. Put on the next caller.
All right, caller. Thank you so much for calling. Tell us your name and where are you calling from.
Hey, girlfriend. It's Jerry Petito. So, I want to say hello to you, and I want to say hello to Cousin Clyde.
Hello, how you doing?
Listen, I'm doing great. I heard a little bit of what you were saying, and I want to read a poem for you, okay?
All right.
All right, so I'm the author of I'm Not an Addict, I'm Just an Ass. I'd rather be a smart ass than a dumbass. Because 30 years ago, Clyde, I was a dumbass, but through the grace of God, 30 years later, I can honestly say now I'm a smartass. So I would like to read one of my poems in my book called Change Your Choice. I had a life-changing moment that I knew had to be. The only way to change things was to first start with me. I looked in the mirror and woke up one day and thought to myself I needed to pray. So I asked God to change me, to help me stay strong, to clean up my mess, to right what's been wrong. I cleaned up my diet. I cleaned up my room. I cleaned up all habits with this old dirty broom. I kept going forward and never looked back. I refused to derail, stayed on the right track. I realized my worth and all that did matter through my selfish behavior, the lives I had shattered. I finally decided at 30 years old to stop abusing my body, my mind, heart, and soul. My life-changing choice that I had once made It's now 30 years, guys. My debt has been paid. So you read all my thoughts on how to stay clean. It's all or nothing, my friend. There's no in between. To live or to die is a choice you must make. Your life is not worthless, and you're not a mistake. One day at a time is a slogan you've heard. It works if you work it while applying his word. For you to get healthy, for your mind not to fail, escaping reality will keep you in jail. With addictive behavior, sex, drugs, food, or money, substituting addictions, now isn't that funny? I'm not an addict. This too shall pass. I'm not an addict. I'm just an ass. What do you think?
I love it. I love it. True. Very, very deep.
Thank you.
I love that. Because one thing I really love about that poem, one of the things that really stood out, and I think everybody listening should really take heed to this, that if you're going to attempt any kind of change, it must start with you. Like,
yeah.
You know, it start with your mindset. It's not the world's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your teacher's fault. It's nobody's fault. It's you. When you look and you start to deal with yourself, and you're able to make the changes that you're able to make. And I want to congratulate you and salute you for doing what you're doing and making those right choices, and congratulate you for being here and where you at today. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Cousin Clyde. Hey, girlfriend, love you.
Love you too, Jerry. Thank you so much. I know you got to get back to work, so I appreciate you taking the time. Jerry Petito is our queen, and I'm gonna say it. She is a queen of WBNN, of this radio station. She has every show she does is a Hall of Fame-esque syndicated show. She does it. She has great interviews, great content, and I glean from you, Jerry. And I just thank you so much for calling in. And I love you, love you, love you, love you to death.
I love you too. Can I tell everyone who my next guest is going to be? This is cool.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. So my next show is actually March 8th, the day after my birthday, guys. And I have an incredible up-and-coming superstar. Her name is Brittany Dixon. She's a 35-year-old singer-songwriter, country, southern girl. She is insane. I am not kidding you. If you check her out, Brittany Dixon, her one song that's out there is called Ride Out. You won't be sorry. She's amazing. Just letting you know.
March 8th.
All right, guys?
Thank you so much for sharing.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye, Cousin Clyde.
Thank you. Bye. Take care.
So, Cousin Clyde, tell us how you got the name, Cousin Clyde. And how did you bring it?
Well, when I started doing stand-up comedy, I was actually going by my real name, my government name. And which is Clyde Austin. And when I was doing it, when people was telling me that my name sounded white, like when you say my name, Clyde Austin, you would think it was an old white man, and then here I come out, you know, a young black man. And I was just thinking, I was like, I'm trying to find something that'll catch. So growing up in my neighborhood, we always called each other cousins. Hey, what up, cuzzo? Cousin this, cousin that. People who weren't really our cousins. And then my cousin is the one who got me into stand-up comedy. And I was just thinking, nobody really used the cousin tag. Only cousin we know is Cousin Pete, Tupac for Poetic Justice. That's the only cousin we know. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the cousin tag because cousins don't get no respect. They either doing something bad or they doing something good. But either way it go, people don't really respect the cousins like that. They just like, that's my cousin. You know, so that's who I am. I'm just, that's cousin.
I got you. Okay, cousin. No, I have a plethora of cousins. And I love them each all individually. I have one cousin who I'm best friends with. He's my daughter's godfather. In fact, we're so tight that we refer to each other as twins. We're 2 months apart, and we think alike. When one is thinking of the other, that cousin called each other. So yeah, cousins. You know, cousins are your really your first friends. You know, right. I mean, your first best friends, and of course, We definitely remember Cousin Pete, because let there be a barbecue. We definitely going to grab the barbecue.
And that's how I am. No matter where I go, I pull up to the cookout, house party, house, anywhere I'm at, like our family. Like, oh, who is that?
That's Kevin Clyde.
I got you, Kevin Clyde. Who are you related to? I don't know. Somebody on the daddy side. Because, you know, we don't know our daddies like that. So
well, I know mine,
cousin. Good job. That's what I'm talking about. I know mine, too. But I got a lot of friends who don't, and I'll be tired of hearing the story. It's all right. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's crazy. Next, we have a track by International Internet Radio Hall of Famer, broadcaster legend, Brother O. Oh, man, that is my song.
To the fire, to the limit, to the wall.
Yes.
Forget to be with you. I gladly risk it all. Yeah. We're going to do a replay on that one.
Hey, he over there. He's over there vibing right
That's
now.
That's what he do.
Right now.
That's what he do. That's amen. That's nice. Ooh, that's my song. All right, we gonna stay focused. All right, we got a caller two in track. Caller, thank you so much for calling. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Caller, you live in the air. Okay, we'll put them back on ice for a second. Bring on the third caller. Caller, you're live on the air with E. Davis and Strictly Biz.
Hi, caller. Thank
yes.
you so much for calling.
How you doing? My name is Tashaka Zulu, and I'm the original writer of one of the biggest hits of Shaka Khan. Now, notice the name, Tashaka. That's my name. That's the original name. I'm the original writer of Do You Love What You Feel? I wrote that song after 12:30 midnight on June 13th. Now, one way or another, someone, you know, managed to get inside my paperwork, and she released that song before I did. So I just want to confess to you and the rest of the world and the cousin, your special guest as well. So I just want to let the world know who's the original writer of one of the biggest hits, Do You Love What You Feel?
I can't. Tell us, come on now.
I mean, listen to it. Listen, look. I'm going to give you a sample so you know who the original writer was, right?
All
right,
come on.
After that, I used to say, do y'all feel me? See, originally the song was, do you feel me? It wasn't, you know, do you love what you feel? It was, do you feel me? And I still say that today, even on my own show. So, you know, I just a true confession. One of the little known facts, you know.
Kevin Clyde.
That's big right there.
That's not. Don't believe that. Kevin Clyde, don't believe that.
Because nowadays you don't know. I was gonna do my research. I was gonna look it up. That's what I was gonna do. See, I take
it
in, and I'm like, and then I go do my research.
Spell with a T.
Okay. Cause you know, that's how they do is when you at a certain age, they talking about, you know who's the original, the one, the first one to bend down, to take a knee and put the jacket over his shoulders. James Brown saw me do it in 1948.
Y'all sound like Bowman in Coming to America.
Yeah, he want to start bending down and putting robes over his shoulders.
Y'all sound like the old man at the barbershop.
Who was the first one to start screaming on the track? Ain't nobody get down on the floor and start gyrating before me. Prince came to my show, saw me gyrating on the stage. Now all of a sudden, he want to start gyrating. Nobody was gyrating before me.
Wait a minute. I got to come on with this one. He's absolutely right. The first person that started to gyrate and scream on the stage was Louis Jordan. Make your head big so big. Look it up.
Anyway, Miss E. Davis, you know I had to call in and you know, kind of interrupt and stuff like that. But on the real, I always enjoy your show. I appreciate the family support. And I'm going to put it on pause and listen to the rest of the show, okay?
Big Brother, I definitely appreciate you calling in. Please tell us when your next show is.
Ooh, you put me on the spot. I believe it's March 13th. I got a special honored guest. Matter of fact, it's the return of a guest that I had before last year. And so definitely expect that, okay?
All right. And tell us your real name.
Oh, I'm the Magic Man. Oh, Huni Baka Tunes, my travel name. My pen and stage name is the Magic Man Haru.
All right. And he is one of the top dogs here at WBNN. And he is a big brother to me and a lot of us hosts. I thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you as well.
All right. We are on the air from Lagos, Nigeria. Call 516-453-9133. press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. I am your host, E. Davis, and this is a product of WBNN. All right, Cousin Clyde. So you did tell us that your cousin got you into comedy, but when did the journey really begin? And how do you brand it as your business? What tools do you use to say, this is my job?
Well, okay, I took comedy serious when I got into a comedy competition. I beat out 40 comedians. You know, I prayed, asked God if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, give me a sign. And I beat out 40 comedians, and I gave up all my negative ways. And I really got to focusing on, you know, doing stand-up comedy. Now, when I made the transition, it was really hard because I was used to a certain lifestyle, used to a certain type of money that I wasn't receiving or getting when I was doing stand-up comedy. It was hard. It was hard trying to find a way to make stand-up comedy a business because when I first got into it, one of the things I kept hearing is that comedians don't get paid. Comedians don't get paid. You just work on your jokes, keep writing, become funny. And a lot of comedians have been telling jokes now. I know some comedians have been telling jokes like 30, 40 years and has not been getting paid to do stand-up comedy. And I just didn't want to be one of those type of comedians. So I did my research. I started studying, you know, started looking at people like Flip Wilson. I started studying Kevin Hart, Master P, Russell Simmons, Diddy, Dang Dash, people who run businesses and doing what they love to do. So what I did was just not only am I a stand-up comedian, I started my own production company called Untamed Comedy. So where now we produce shows as well. So now when I'm not on stage, you know, telling jokes, I'm also giving opportunities to up-and-coming comedians and travel comedians and bringing comedy to the city and the community. So that's my business now is producing comedy shows.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're working also behind the scenes as to being in front.
Yes, what they call where I'm from, I'm doing the Michael Jordan. I'm playing for the team I own.
See, that's what I'm a publisher, Writer's Block Publishing LLC. We publish independent authors for free. And not only am I the CEO, I'm also an author. I have 8 books published myself personally under my business, and we have approximately 29 books, including my 8. Yes, sir. As you recall, Micah Massey, that is my uncle, and he was raised by a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we were talking, this was about 2 years ago, and it was like, you ain't got time to be broke because you was raised by a hustler. Jitney and doing haircuts, whatever it takes to make that money.
Right.
So before I'm going to ask you just who your favorite comedians are and the inspiration you got behind them. You definitely named a few powerhouse businessmen. But before we do that, we do have a track by the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Dying.
I love when Shaka Khan hits that whale. That's when you jam. You like, yes. You feel that. You just feel that jam when she hits that whale. I can't.
I'm gonna tell you something about music. It's like when I was coming up and I was listening to these songs, they were just songs. But now that I'm up at age and I live and I hear those songs now, it's like theme music to like storylines of my life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear that. What you gonna do for me when the chips are down? That's what it's about. All that love, but what you gonna do for me when the chips are down?
I tell people all the time. I said all that humping and thumping is good, but you know when times get rough, money's tight, and you know life hits you and you can't hump and thump. What you gonna do?
What we gonna do then?
What we gonna do? This man, this is a product of WBNN. This is Strictly Business. I am your host, T. Davis. We are on the air from Lagos, Nigeria. Call 516-391-33. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And we have a caller in the queue. Caller, thank you so much for calling. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from. Caller, are you there?
Caller? All right, caller, when you press 1, it means you want to talk. So are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
All right, go ahead and talk, baby.
Hello?
I know that voice.
You recognize this voice?
Yes, Daddy. That is my Uncle Micah.
What's up, baby girl?
Oh, everybody remember Uncle Ruben last month. This is Uncle Micah.
How y'all doing tonight?
How are you, Uncle?
I'm great, grand, and groovy, living my life like a movie. I just wanted to holler at you guys. You got my partner in crime, Cousin Clyde, on the show. So I just wanted to holler out. And also shout out to the Hall of Fame, Internet DJ, Super Sensation, Break It Back, Make You Dance Again.
Oh, Trill, baby. Love you, man.
Yeah, man, back at you.
Thank you, Mac. Uncle, what's going on? What are you doing tonight?
Listening to you guys, man. You know what I'm saying? Enjoying the show. That's really what I'm doing.
Uncle put me on show last month. Uncle put me on to Cousin Clyde. Well, he put me on to Cousin Clyde for a few years, but he was like, listen, you got to put Cousin Clyde on. I was like, absolutely. And I reached out to Cousin Clyde immediately, like, look, let's do this. So I'm so grateful that you you allowed me the opportunity to interview him and put him on his platform so you guys can expand the business. Because I'm definitely enjoying him. He was talking about how he was making people laugh and sending to rehab instead of selling them crack. I didn't understand that.
He's slanging them jokes.
I heard drug, you know, drug selling, but he was like, listen.
He's slanging them jokes.
I'm not going to sell you this drug. What'd you say?
He's slanging them jokes.
Yeah, it was funny. I was like, wait a minute. He said he wanted to be a drug dealer, but he sent him to rehab. I was like, wow.
Sending him to rehab and changed up everything. Changed everything.
That is too funny. All right. So what I want to ask is Cousin Clyde and Unc, if you want to stay on, because this is your guy.
That's my right-hand man, 100 grand.
Who's your favorite comedian?
My favorite comedian?
Mm-hmm.
Right off top is Dave Chappelle.
Ah, that is. I liken him to our Dick Gregory. He's our generation's Dick Gregory.
That's a good comparison.
I like that. See, I didn't get a chance to really experience Dick Gregory. I didn't really get a chance to experience comedy or comedians. Period. I was like everybody else. We only know who we know. Like, you know, your Eddie Murphy, your Red Fox, and the people we seen off of Def Jam. And when I got into comedy, I was like, wow, there's so many funny comedians that people don't know about. It is mind blowing, and it's like, now that I do stand up comedy, I will watch people spend like hundreds of dollars on to go see these big names, and they literally tell the same jokes for years. And then you got comedians that's like working hard. They got that new fresh material, and they funny and fresh, and they can't get nobody to come out. So that's one of the main focuses that I have with Untamed Comedy, is to make comedy great again, to where people will just come out. It doesn't matter who's on stage. It's just the comedians.
So how do you feel with everything that's going on? Because the way people are now banned for speaking their truth, and even if it's in a joke, Kevin Hart, a few years back, we know that Kevin Hart had the opportunity to host the Oscars, but because he had said some things on Twitter years prior concerning homosexuality, he was made to apologize. So it's like, you can't even joke. You can't say anything. You can't even say that that's not what you want for your sons or daughters or whatnot.
It's like, one of the things that I really want to change is a narrative of, like, being, because he couldn't host the Oscars, it's now like he can't say what he want to say. But it's like, why give the Oscars so much credibility when I mean, I understand what the Oscars are, but they never catered to us. They never was for us or anything. So I feel like we shouldn't have to change who we are to become a part of somebody else's program or somebody else's agenda. And that's what I love about the movement that I'm a part of and that I'm alive to see today, is that so many entrepreneurs, so many people that going into business for themselves, and it's like, look at like Master P and all the other entrepreneurs. It's like, I go independent so I can say what I want. Like Dave Chappelle just did a whole stand-up comedy special about gays. It didn't stop nothing that he got going on because he's independent.
See, that was definitely his most recent show. He was on the verge of being canceled because of his comments, and he was basically saying it's not about gay rights. It's the fact that gays are getting more rights prior to the black.
Right. Gays get so much rights. I've been thinking about becoming gay. I've been really thinking about it. Like, you know what? I think my chances are better on the other side. You know, I won't be black anymore. I'll be gay. Now that's where the money's at.
So, you know what? Oh, Dallas, come on in, because I know he about to rip.
Well, first of all, when do we get to the point, right, to where people can't be talked about? Okay, it's comedy.
Right.
I thought the whole situation
right.
with Dave Chappelle was asinine. And I'm like, listen, Dave, folks, listen to me right now. Y'all getting soft, bro. What's up with y'all?
Right.
Y'all gonna be the hardest people in the world. Y'all supposed to go through everything. You have the right to be made fun of, just like everybody else has the right to be made fun of. And I'm great.
Right.
You can't do nothing to me. You can't do nothing to me because I know people. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say. You have the right to be made fun of. It's comedy. Yik, yik, yak, yak, okay? You know what I mean? Because,
right.
you know, it's not even. Let me just say my statement. Yik, yik, yak, yak. You know, you laugh at anything else that's funny. That's discriminatory. That's not the American dream. That's not the American way. Come on, guys. Let's get it together, man. You know, someone says something, bang, it's okay. Now, if it's totally derogatory to a point where it's offensive, that's different. You know what I mean? We understand that. But just, you know, a small situation, and now you're making it a big situation like you did with Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle, who did it so eloquently and intellectually, man, calm down. You guys, man, not only that, though, you can't talk about women. You can't talk about black folk. You can't talk about white folk. You can't talk about Asian folk. It's comedy, like my man Talent used to say. It's only comedy. If you don't like it, then don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Turn off your station. Oh, you know, WBNN is a beacon of light for everybody. And the people that I know that are gay love what Dave Chappelle did. It's the shot callers that feel
right.
some type of way. Okay? It's not the regular gay people that you meet every day. They go every, you know, they laugh, they joke with amongst themselves. They laugh and joke with heterosexuals. And it's not even about anything. It's the people that are involved that are trying to say, oh, you're trying to, you know, put a light against our struggle. Calm down. Sit back. You know, au revoir, Felicia. It's not about that. Okay? It's all about inclusion. Inclusion means your ass needs to be laughed at, too. And kiss my ass if you don't like it. And guess what? I'll still be here tomorrow.
You know what?
and that's facts, because I mean, this is just my opinion, you know, this is just me, but I love the person that's not afraid to say something, you know what I mean? You know, like, remember back in the day, you know, like somebody might have wore like some high water pants or whatnot. And people not going to say anything. But then it's that one person that will come out and talk about the high water pants. And it's funny. But it's like when you have these comedy styles or you making these jokes, it's to bring light. It's to bring funny. It's to lighten the mood. It's to bring joy.
It's to bring humor. And I'm going to tell you a story. And Mike, are you still on the line?
I'm still on the line.
Listen, I'm gonna tell y'all a funny story. This is a real true story. So right after my mother passed, my mother died in October. So that Thanksgiving, my father told my brother and myself that we were going to our grandma Frankie's for Thanksgiving. My brother and I was like home alone when Macaulay Culkin like grabbed his face and started screaming because she was not the greatest cook. And my mom's biological mother was battling with cancer, so we didn't want to ask her to call because she would have had the whole spread. So what we do, Micah, we called your mother.
Uh-huh.
And she lived about an hour and a half away. And so I remember my brother and I, we called, and your Uncle Kerwin was there. And I said,
okay.
Oh, tell grandma to call me. It's an emergency. About 10 minutes later, and she was like, what's wrong, baby? I said, Grandma, we going to Grandma Frankie for Thanksgiving. We need help. And she laughed so hard. I was so mad that she laughed at me. I said, Grandma, this is not funny. We ain't got no food.
You talking about 911?
Nah. That's Emily Dawn starting stuff, man. E. Davis is starting stuff. She didn't want to eat the food, so you had to make sure that you didn't throw up, man. Shout out to Frankie.
It was just like, okay, so we got, my brother and I was plotting. We were scheming teenagers that weekend. And we told her dad, we was like, Dad, you know, Grandma surely could come and cook Thanksgiving. Because first Grandma said, well, I got to work. I was like, man, that's our job. Like, we hungry. About those jobs. I didn't have a license. I had my permit, and I was dating a guy that had his license. I said, get a ride with me. He come get you, Grandma. Please. She laughed so hard. I said, Grandma, I need you to stop laughing at me. This is serious. And we told her dad, we said, Dad, Grandma Shirley could come cook. He was like, I said, no, go to Grandma Frankie's. My brother and I was so solemn, and we didn't want to send her, so we ate, you know, we ate a little bit. But that weekend, my dad cooked a turkey and stuffing and mac and cheese, it was better than my mama's. I said, you ain't just, that's the right thing.
You know what? You know what? E. Davis, Micah, and Clyde. I got to come on. You know, it's about family. It's about old school, you know what I mean, WBN informed. You know, your grandma, Frankie, could have killed you with, you know, with poisoning of the food. you got to stand up sometimes. Okay, you got to get a whip. Listen to me. And I can say ass because there's no PG-13 this time of night. It's, you know, Eastern Standard Time. You should have took an ass whooping, okay? I'm not eating her food, Dad. I'm not eating her food. Step up. Be that ram. No, we can't go back in time now. Take an ass whooping. It works.
That turkey was so dry, it was dusty. Listen, I was just like, oh, man. And And when my dad cooked his turkey, that turkey was so juicy, he was sweating. I said,
your dad is still, let me tell you something. You have to admonish yourself right now. You have to let your father know. Okay, we're going to the next caller, right? Micah, Clyde, you hear?
Yeah.
You got to go over to your dad's house, E. Davis, and say, Dad, I want to thank you for what you've done for me. I want to thank you. But let me tell you something. I don't care if you're alive right now. Is your grandma Frankie died? Is she gone? Is she going on be with God?
No. No.
Okay, she ain't got to worry about eating her food no more. But you still have to tell your father that that time, you ever tell your father you want to eat that food and he forced you? And did your dad know that this woman wasn't right for his kids to let you eat that food, E. Davis?
Listen.
Hey, no, listen, I asked you a question. Tell your father, you're a grown woman. You're a grown woman, wonderful married woman, a child that's grown. Hey, Dad, I appreciate you letting me go over to, Grandma Frankie. Man, you was wrong for that. You got to tell the truth, man. You got to tell the truth, E. Davis.
I told him 3 days later. I said, you could have did this three days
ago.
He was like, well, this time we need to be the family. I said, F family. We can have our own Thanksgiving.
Did you say F or you said the real word?
I mumbled it. I said, fuck, man.
Listen, this is my little sister. I got to put her on the wall. I got to put her off the wall like Michael Jackson sometimes when we do have another caller, guys. Listen. Micah, and Cousin Clyde are here to help you never to eat the chicken that tastes like wood. We're going to be on the call right now with this wonderful chicken business right now.
No, you can ask Micah. Micah, no, I ain't really just burst out at to my dad because that was about it.
You tell your dad. Tell your dad don't do that no more to any other kid, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. If they can't cook, say, we're not going. Caller, number four, you're right.
Can't you ever say that's the way it was? Happened so naturally. Didn't I know it was love? The next thing I felt you holding me close. What was I going to do but let myself go? Now we're flying through the stars. Hope this night will last forever. What's up?
I'm in love.
What's up, E. Davis? How are you tonight?
Like chinchilla. Mm-mm. Ain't nobody.
Yes.
I'm in love.
Michael, leave her alone.
Y'all
great. My uncle talked about he in love. I said, leave her alone.
I'm enjoying the show. Our international enshrinee Hall of Fame DJ with Chaka Khan. That's my girl. I do a lot of her music. But I'm enjoying the show because the cousin Clyde. y'all are funny. And talking about the gay jokes and stuff, and just so ironically, on my podcast tonight on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls, the case is built around this bishop, right, that has been targeted and railroaded by the LGBT community in Georgia and Florida. And so it's not funny, but it's just kind of ironic that y'all start talking about that. But that's what that whole podcast is about, the LGBT community. And because he stood up and was very vocal against some expansion of gay rights laws down in Jacksonville. And the law didn't get passed because of all of his publicity campaigning he did to block that law from being passed. So now they were like so upset and infuriated with this man, and it's so very sad. And he's a bishop, and so but now he's in prison. And so we're advocating to get him out.
Why is he in prison?
Yeah. Well, he's in prison. Now, listen at this. This is the real kicker, okay? He's in prison for molesting a boy.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. And this is what he preaches and speaks out against and ran a whole campaign against homosexuals. And they railroaded him. And now framed him with molesting a boy. He was a teenager. But the young man, you know, he didn't get molested. It's a whole big mess. But
wow, Chinchilla. Wait a minute, Chinchilla. Let's go back to hunting him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when Chai McBride told the brother, you the joke whispers? You the joke whispers?
But
y'all crazy.
With the gay stuff, I got a gay joke. look, the gay people, they used to get mad at me a lot because, when I used to have my ministry, you know, I would preach a lot about against homosexuality and stuff. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I don't love them because I love everybody because the Bible says that. But you don't have to agree with people's lifestyles. And when something goes against the Bible, it's biblical. So, you know, my standpoint is biblical because, two gay people cannot reproduce. If God told us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, two women can't do that together. Two men can't do that together. And, you know, God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve or not Madam and Eve. So, you know, they cannot reproduce together. And, you know, that's kind of
Adam and Eve and Adam and Steve.
That's, that's kind of funny, but it's true.
You know what?
You know, it's the truth.
Wait a minute. E. Davis, I got going with Cousin Clyde and Micah. You know, I always say to the people out there that, you know, two black people can come together and create a white person. That's called an albino. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Two white folks can't make a Negro I know. You know what I'm saying? So, now we have people on the network, okay, that claim gay rights and then become a whole core female dog after 2 months and then say, I ain't gonna be on the show no more. Good night. No. We wanna thank you for everything you've done on this network. Okay? You never have the last word. You know what I mean? No. This ain't no Fannie Mae Foundation. How about that? And if you don't like me, you can call me. You know who you are, punk.
But listen, I got a question for y'all, okay? Because you know how they have the LGBT, okay? First it was like, you know, back in the day, like I'll be 59 this year, so back in the day we used to call gay men faggots, okay? And women, we used to call them dykes, that was gay. Now they came out with the homosexual movement, and it started off with the LGBT community. The lesbian, gays, and bis, and they added on the T, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Then they added on the Q, LBGT, LGBTQ, so they put the queer on the end, okay? And, you know, like, really?
I thought the Q was for questionable.
Well, queer is questionable. It's all questionable because, I mean, really, if you're gay.
They know who they are. It ain't nothing questionable. You know who you are, but this is not bashing gay people. It's bashing, you know, can I say this? It's after, you know, almost, 11 o'clock. E. Davis, can I say it? You allow me, Commissioner?
Go ahead.
This is questioning the bitch-ass people that hide behind the rainbow, okay?
Right.
You claim rainbow, and then you can't do your damn job, okay? You panty waste. Your mama should have swallowed you on these WBN stations.
He said that their mother should have swallowed them. Now, is that getting some? Wait. Let's back that up a minute, because he said that their mother should have swallowed them. And does that mean that swallowing what? The cum? Swallowed
the call letters in there. Then he put the call letters in there.
I'll tell you what I meant. I tell you what I meant. Plan two is for you. Swallow them. If you can't come together to make life form, you know what I mean, all the brethren and the sisterin, you don't need bitch-ass people claiming, you know, what it comes down to.
It comes down to the rainbow.
Well, hold on, guys. E. Davis, you said I can talk. I mean, you should never get that because you know me. I mean, I'm in my Melanie Beverly mode. Don't claim to be a champion of gay rights when you're not a champion of yourself.
There you go.
Wow.
You know, so take control and responsibility. No. We're not gonna do that to our gay people that listen. The people that follow WBNN understand what I'm saying to you. You know, we have a loan now because of someone that left on their own positive vibe that they think it is, right? And our gay community is suffering, guys, because of bitch-ass people. And I've been waiting to say this a long time. I'm not Will of God. My name is Oladele. I tell you, use a bitch when you leave this great network and you don't even have a clue of who you are. So do me a favor. Try to get to your humanity first before you try to represent others that are better than you, that are better than you. So kiss my whole entire black ass.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for venting.
Hold on. I got somebody put on the spot. This sounds like some good old fashioned, you know, Brother Nation stuff. Commissioner, how you feel about what I said?
Yeah. It's fact. My mother always said, "The truth kills a man." Let him know. So, it is what it is.
If the truth kills a man, let him die.
So, winning Chinchilla J. When's your next show, young lady? Upon these WBNN networking processes.
Well, let me see now. My next show is on Sunday. What is Sunday's date? Sunday is the 20th of February, 2022 at 9:30 p.m. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J will be bringing to you part two of the wrongful conviction cases that were the most compelling and troubling for the year 2021. So make sure you tune in to my show on Sunday at 9:30 p.m. on WBNN.
Thank you, Chinchilla.
Sounds good.
We got caller number 5 in the track. Caller 5, thank you so much for calling. Tell us your name, where you calling from.
Hello, E. Davis. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia.
Ah, the motivation.
I wanted to call and support your show, but y'all are in here cutting up.
I had to step out because Oladele was going in, Chinchilla was going in. Mm-hmm. I had to take a minute. Oh, Lord.
I appreciated the advice that you gave in the beginning of the show. And then I just started laughing the rest of it. I was laughing all night. Hello, Kevin Kai. Huh?
Kevin Kai?
Yes, I'm here.
Mo Garman had said hello.
Oh, hello. How you doing? I can't hear you kind of low a little bit.
Okay. Y'all are all just cutting up tonight. I'm telling you, I was just like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I done went and popped me some popcorn. I wasn't ready.
and some women need to pop some pills and not have them people be alive. How about that one?
Wow. So you got any questions for Cousin Clark?
No, I don't. I just, like I said, I was just beginning to listen. I actually tuned in. I guess about maybe a quarter way through, and y'all were just. I listened to your beginning, and then I listened to Clyde talking a little bit, and I was just. Y'all are just amazing. Y'all have some great family history and some dynamics, and I just think this is a great show.
Thank you so much for calling in.
The views and opinions of all of us, and you know, for the gay community, not necessarily the views of WBNN and its affiliates. We love the gay community. We hate bitch people. So do me a favor.
Right.
Laugh about the things that happened to you and be a part of. Yeah, be part of the movement. Laugh. Okay, it's okay to laugh at yourself. Don't put yourself in an island and think you're special. No, you guys are not that special in the human race. You need to be laughed at. If you wear, you know, the wrong color and the wrong eyelashes at your drag ball, you're going to be clowned. And that is my bicentennial moment.
Mo, when's your next show?
My next show is February the 25th at 9:30.
All right. Thank you again for calling.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a good night.
You do the same. All right, we got a track by the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O.
Before I go to that wonderful track, I got to say to everybody out there, you know, we love, learn, and release. And that's what it's all about here at this station. Understand that, you know, the clowning we do tonight is not about, you know, anybody's opinions, because opinions are just like, you know, cavities that you have in your body. Everyone has one, and that's okay. You know, we're in that point of loving and relating and releasing. We have to do a better job, okay, with love. You know what I mean, E. Davis? That's the problem right now. We don't love each other enough to be able to say it's okay. It's okay. You know, we all go through things in our life. And, you know, without laughter, like Cousin Clyde, and even Micah, I know Micah's a funny person. I just tell the truth, and it happens to be funny. And if I offend you, you know, I'm still your mother and father's favorite. But however, we have to be better at life. That's what we do on a constant basis. Let's be better. You know what I mean? Let's do a better job in loving each other. And that's our problem, E. Davis. We don't have that ability to love. What happened to the world? What happened when, you know, we played the dozens and we're still friends in the next stratosphere? We got to do better, guys. We got to do better.
We got to do better.
You know, and it's sad to me. And, you know, and I meant what I said. No matter if you're heterosexual or homosexual, if you're a bitch, we know you are, and you're going to be clown on the block until you get yourself together. He brought up high waters. You know they're too high over top of your socks. So buy pants that touch your shoes. What's wrong with you? We're clowning you to be better, okay? We're clowning you to be better. The same thing that I said tonight. You know, with the gay community, we're clowning you to be better, okay? It's not about, you know, WBNN is against gays. No, we're going to push the issue in that situation. And, guys, I want to let everybody know what my wonderful DJ Prowlis, I'm Superman.
I am Superman. Congratulations to E. Davis on her 10th
WBNN, All Time Connection Record tonight. Ooh, Lord, I see it.
There it is.
Congratulations.
There it is.
You did it. You did it.
Guys, you guys are hilarious.
Oh, man. Girl, you got that speech ready. Go ahead. You got a speech for us. You got a speech for us.
That's number 10. Oh, man. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Man. All right. All right. I can't talk. I need y'all to. We can't have dinners. I need y'all to talk.
It's amazing. I'm glad, you know, I can be here on the night that you break the record, you know, because, you know, I know it's because of me and only because of me why the ratings has gone up. I just reach out to so many people like that. That's just my influence, you know. Sometimes I get blinded by my own light, and the doctor said that I need to wear shades when I'm on the stage telling these jokes, because I can blind myself sometimes. That's why I stay away from mirrors or anything that's reflected, because I don't want to shine that light and it hit back on me. So I understand how I feel sometimes. I'm just glad that I can be here and be a part of this whole record that I was able to do for you, you know.
I'm going to let you hear that, but thank you.
Unreal.
You know, I don't think Kevin Hart's ever been on this show and has pulled this many numbers. You know, that's all I'm saying. Nobody has been up here. I'm just saying.
That's true, Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing over here.
Listen, this is just a blessing, because this is not 1 but 2 months that I shared this with my uncle. So, Uncle Micah, thank you again.
I love you, Putin.
Here you go. Oh, God. Here you go.
Terrence tried to challenge me on the air, y'all. I can't have that. I can't abide by that. I'm a DJ extraordinaire. I can't do it. Hey, Terrence. Hey, Terrence, you did it, man. Let's go.
Uh-oh.
Let's go, y'all.
It is.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom, blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
Wow, this is a monumental moment for me. I've been a part of this family for almost two years now, come in July, and the family has embraced me with open arms. This week has been emotionally challenging. So I just thank all those that called in and participated because without you guys, I wouldn't have reached this part. Thank you, Cousin Clyde, for just taking the time to join us and making me laugh and smile. And my beloved uncle, that's my ride or die. And I love y'all. And Terrence Strength, I was told to never challenge Ngozi, so I don't know what that is. So y'all work that out. But to put your passion as a business, as you can see, this is what this network is. This is what we all, this whole network, 30 days, 31 days, is what we do. We talk about our passions. We talk about what moves us, what drives us, and we make it a brand. Forget about the conspiracies, the who's watching me, who's looking for me. Do your job. Get off your ass. You're sitting on a gold mine. And this is what this is about. And I can't even elaborate more without being redundant. So next we have Ngozi time.
Well, well, well. What more can I say tonight that hadn't already been said? First of all, Cousin Clyde, you started this stuff tonight with, you know, with your wonderful rendition of something that's near and dear to our heart. Comedy. What is comedy? What is it? It's the truth. And if you get offended, pull your drawers up. It's okay. You know what I mean? There's another day for you to be feeling better about yourself. And that's what you do. And Clyde, any final comments tonight on this outstanding show?
Say that one more time, sir.
No, I said, any comments tonight on this outstanding show tonight?
Yeah, man. First of all, I just want to say thank y'all for having me. I had a blast. I want to just let people know out there, follow me if you can. It's Cousin Clyde, CUZZINCLYDE. And, you know, and my message I want to leave people with is, you know, do what you love, you know. Don't listen to what other people tell you if it's on something negative, because people like to put their fears on you, and you are not them and they are not you. So make your own moves, create your own path, your own lane, and don't look at your losses as losses. Look at them as lessons. And just know, keep your faith in God or whoever you believe in. You know, just stay focused.
Focus.
I love that. And the key is having fun. E. Davis, you didn't know how this show is going to be tonight. And the greatest thing about it is that it's spontaneous, like our brother Will of God always says. WBNN is fantastic, period, point blank. And I love the people that, you know, that support us on a constant basis. What more can I say tonight? But congratulations to E. Davis, now hitting double digits in the championship realm. But the Darlene Lawrence Championship, how do you feel about that? The great Darlene Lawrence, who is our ancestral angel, and you have that championship tonight. How do you feel about that, E. Davis, while going to Ngozi time?
It's an emotional right now. So I'm grateful. I'm beyond grateful. This has been a very trying week, but I'm definitely grateful. And I dedicate this to my brother. That's all I have to say.
No, the big old tough ram, you know, got choked up tonight. Is that what we're doing? That's what we're doing tonight, E. Davis? I'm going to clown your ass after the show. Which I'll call you.
Yeah.
But, of course, WBNN has advertising. WBNN has advertising. See, so emotional. I can't even do my Ngozi time. See what goes on?
Okay.
WBNN has advertising through Ngozi time multimedia. We're on at Ngozi Time at Twitter and Instagram, also Pinterest. On Facebook at Oladele Malay Ngozi. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? Oladele.ngozi, but at my.com. I'm your mother and father's favorite producer, O.M. Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all of our listeners at Armed Force Radio Network worldwide. Join us and in for tomorrow's program. I get a chance to do something tomorrow that's amazing, honoring another ancestral angel, Miss Aretha Franklin, live at Bethel, you know, the Championship Church there in Detroit, Michigan, led by her father, C.L. Franklin, and Pastor Kevin Perry, and The Work Is Done. The Work Is Done will be tomorrow night at WBNN, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. www.blogtalkradio.com. You can listen. If you can't get on the phone, go ahead and do that. And let's end our programming tonight with a champion that helps people and changes people. This young lady has the audacity to publish people for free and trying to get them to another level. And I love her for that. You know, a lot of people don't, give their heart and soul to people. And Bea Davis is a champion, not just at, this network, but what she does with Writer's Block Publishing, LLC. And it means a lot to me to have someone like her. So emotional tonight, that, she starts to crack up on the mic. And that's amazing to me because, the great Ricky R. Jones, who's the matriarch of our network, she always said that if you disrespect the mic, it's going to show. Our new emblem is the mic, period, at WBNN Broadcasting. And now our champion, our banner holder, the last 2 minutes left to go in this program, the outstanding work of our network commissioner, the wonderful E. Davis.
Ever since I took the position as commissioner, there's been a great war, and that's to war within me, war within things in my life, and it's just to force me to level up. Tragedy will hit you. Life will hit you. People will question you. People will challenge you. But it's your job to rise up and battle. And tonight was definitely a family affair. We laughed. We talked. We encouraged. And this is what we need to do on a daily basis. But after that encouragement, it's time to rise up and do what we need to do. And that's all I have to say tonight.